Along, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and followed him. And as he sat at dinner in the house, many tax collectors and sinners came and were sitting with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when he heard this, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have come to call not the righteous, but sinners to repentance." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ. Be seated. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, I give thanks for this community of faith and the wonderful gifts that we share together. Continue to call us together as a family of faith that seeks your will above all things, that we might live for and live into the world you love. Help us, Lord God, to be the people who do your will, to follow your call, and in these moments, experience your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And I mean that very much, that I value this community of faith and each of you and what you bring to this place. The unique ways that you are you and the unique gifts that you offer to help us thrive and be Bethel. Be a place that the Holy Scripture says in Genesis is how awesome is this place when talking about Bethel. And I concur when I think of you and when I think of our ministry and I think of where God is working in our lives together. It is a real gift. And I think that in many ways, a lot of the ministry that we do is somewhat a cutting edge. The way we do our worship, where we combine and bring about all that's good and beautiful in musical expression of worship, we try to just have it all here. And that is great. And that is why others come and in many ways want to do what we do. That is a great gift that we offer. The wonderful ministry that Brian and the youth ministry are doing. All of those things are blessings. We heard today that outside of our ministry spending plan, you, the people of God at Bethel, have given over $100,000 for mission. That's above and beyond just meeting our ministry needs. It's pretty amazing and pretty trend-setting and something that I am grateful for. And you know, there's another way that I think that we're called to be trendsetting. And it's like this. You know, some of you may know that the motto of the ELCA is God's work, our hands. Well, guess what? We're going to challenge that. Yesterday, there was the Battlefield Half Marathon. And we had a bunch of runners from Bethel run. And this was the motto that they ran under. God's work, our feet. Bethel Lutheran Church. Now, God's work, our hands is great. I love it. But in light of the lesson we just heard, perhaps God's work, our feet, is even better. And this is not sacrilegious because the pastor's putting it up here. God's work, our feet. Micah chapter 5 is where we hear a lesson today, and it's very powerful. And one of the things we're learning in our How Lutherans Interpret the Bible series is that we read Scripture and we interpret Scripture in light of its historical and literary context. And what that means is we try to understand how the original people who heard these words from Micah, how might they have heard them? So in chapter 5, it begins like this. "But you, O Bethlehem, one of the little clans, from you shall come forth the one who is to rule." Now, how might they have heard that? Well, I can tell you this. Number one, when they heard the word Bethlehem, that signified something very important. That was the city of, does anybody remember? The city of David. David was the greatest leader at the time in the history of the Jewish people. And so gathering and hearing about Bethlehem, they would eventually go, okay, Bethlehem's where David was. But then it goes on to say, who are one of the little clans of Judah, it says. Saying, hey, wait a minute. Well, that backwater town where David was from, and from one of these little clans will come forth the ruler. And you see, at the time that Micah was prophesying, the people of God, Israel, was under attack. They had become, in many ways, they had forgotten who God was for them in their world and in their life. They did a lot of sacrificing. They did a lot of these things that were seen as the right religious things to do in their time and period, but they had forgotten to focus their life, to center their life in Yahweh, in God. And so Micah comes to them and says, you guys are doing all this beautiful, fun, great stuff. You're doing all these sacrifices, but guess what? From a backwater town, from a little bitty clan will come your ruler. And he's setting forth a whole new vision of leadership and what God was doing in the world. Now, that's the beginning of this text. And then it goes on to chapter 6, which is one of the more famous parts of Scripture. And starting there in verse 6, because it says he follows up with them. He says, what shall I come before the Lord? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams and 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? Again, the question is, what does God require of us? Is God requiring of us all of this fancy stuff, all of this kind of religiosity? Is that what God wants? Does God want the beautiful gold temple? Does God want all of this amazing, amazing stuff? Our clothes and how beautiful we are. Does God want that from us? No. Micah says no. He says all God wants from us, and what God wants primarily from us, is for us to do justice, to love mercy, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with our God. That becomes the new vision for leadership. That becomes the new vision for what God's kingdom is centered in. Justice for those who are on the margins of our society, for those who the world would look at and downgrade, for people who have been kept out of places and churches because of who they are or any of those things. You know, we are called to live a life of justice for them. We are called to be on the side of those who are marginalized. That begins here too. We are called as the people of God to love kindness. And I'm not talking about the kindness where we're just, you know, we're superficially nice to each other. As a southern boy, I'm really good at that. I can do that with strangers. I can be superficially really nice because my mama taught me well. And she's fantastic at it, believe you me, even better than me. She could really not like you at all and you would have no idea. Because she is a good southern woman, let me tell you. She's loving. I love her like that. You know, but that's not what I'm talking about. That's not the kind of kindness I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is the kind of kindness, the kind of mercy, the kind of loving that we want the best for somebody else, putting ourselves in their shoes. You know the whole adage of walk another mile in someone else's moccasins, right? You remember that? Yeah? Or do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That means that we love that, that we say, you know what? I want for you what I would value in my own life. I want for you, I want your best interest to occur. So God is calling us, A, to think about those who are on the margins, to think about those who have been left behind, to think about those who have been shoved aside, and to say, no, we're going to be with you. We want what's best for you too. And in doing that, that means we have to follow the third one, walking humbly with our God. That means that a lot of God's work is done not just with our hands, but walking into the world that God loves. I've said it before, I'll continue to say it. It does not read in Scripture, for God so loved the church that He gave His only begotten Son. It says, for God so loved the world. And so part of being about God's work in this world is that we must walk out into the world that God loves. That God's work happens when our feet is walking humbly into those places that are difficult, that are scary, that are uncertain. That's what it means to follow the call from God. And that's the call that leads us in whatever walk we make individually, collectively of a church, that leads us all on the set to the same place. That leads us all in our walk as we walk into the world to see where God is, what God is up to, and how God is blessing that world that He loves. As we follow that, we all end up at the same place, at the foot of the cross. At the foot of the cross where we see the feet of our Lord which were bound and broken for us. We meet each other here in the world where God's values of justice, God's values of mercy, of compassion, of graciousness, God's values of humility and working on behalf of others, wherever that is happening in this world that God loves, as we walk out there with our feet, God's work, our feet, as we walk there, we will meet our Lord and we will meet Him at the foot of the cross there. There. And that is the vision, the new vision that Micah offers the people who are in bondage. Who are in bondage to the trappings of their own religiosity. They are called beyond that to something new. Something different. Something blessed. So, will you join me in petitioning the ELCA to forget all the branding that they've been doing for years and years and years and years and changing to God's work, our feet? Should we do that together? Maybe not, but maybe we can live that out now together as the people of God. Let us continually remind each other that it's not only the work of our hands that is done here, but is the work of our feet being willing to go to where God is calling us to be His hands and His feet in this world that He loves. In Jesus' name, amen.
Jesus, at the center of it all.